We're continuing our study through the Old Testament. We're in Joshua chapter 20. All right, last time we were in Joshua, we saw that they had finished dividing up the land and all the tribes knew about where they were going to live. Then finally, after everyone else had their piece of land where they knew where they're going to be, Joshua got to choose his own piece of land at that point. And we saw that Joshua's land was called Timnath-Serah, which means portion of abundance. We saw that he really appreciated that land by even that name, the portion of abundance. So they were reminded in the background of that setting that there were some tribes that had complained, remember, that they didn't get enough land or they weren't happy with the land that they got. But I think Joshua understood that it was all the promised land. Every single bit of it was the promised land. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. So it really didn't matter what portion you got. You know, in actuality, it was all the portion of abundance, which is what the name meant for his piece there. And now this applies to us in a big way. When we enter the Spirit-filled life, it doesn't matter how big or how small the job is that the Lord has for us, because it's all the Spirit-filled life, you know. It's all the promised land. But no matter what we have to face, whether it's giants, you know, or whether it's armies with chariots, you know, that they were concerned about, it really doesn't matter at all, because it's all Timnath-Serah, that portion of abundance. That's our life in Christ as we enter the Spirit-filled life. So we saw some of the things in the last study as wake-up calls. At least I did. I hope they did challenge you too, in case we weren't really appreciating the Spirit-filled life that the Lord has called us into. They were some pretty good challenges to kind of wake us up and get us back to say, I appreciate, Lord, everything you're doing. So we're in chapter 20. Look down to verse 1 with me. The Lord also spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses. So he's going to talk about these cities of refuge some here. And this has already started through Moses. We'll talk about that more in a minute. It says that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. So let's define a few terms as we're looking at how the Lord's going to deal with this again. The first term is that term slayer, or other places you'll see it referred to as manslayer. That was the one who accidentally or unintentionally killed somebody. You know, maybe they were working side by side, something bad happened, the person died, and it was you that caused the problem, but it was an accident. It wasn't like you were going to try to kill the person. So that's the slayer or the manslayer. Also, there's the avenger of blood he mentions here, and basically that means the one who is the protector of the family rights. It was the family member of the person who got killed, and he was the one coming after the killer to end his life. And this is something that was going on back then. Also, the term the city of refuge was a city that was like a safe house or a sanctuary, as some have called it. But it was a place where a person could run to if they were involved in killing somebody accidentally. And we're going to talk about the cities of refuge more, because the Lord's really bringing something out here. As we look at these cities of refuge, we need to pay really close attention to what the Lord's talking about here, because you may not have realized it, but as we've gone through our study from Genesis forward to this place here, which you notice is not the whole portion of the Bible, it's not too large of a section when you look at that, the cities of refuge, this is the fourth time here in this chapter that the Lord has spoke about these cities of refuge. So it's an important thing to the Lord. It's obviously very important to him to keep bringing these up. The first mention of this was back in Exodus 21, where the Lord said, you know, if you kill a man then intentionally, then you're responsible and your life will be given for his life. But it says too, right after that, if it was an accidental thing, then the Lord's going to make a place for you. So it doesn't mention it at that point, doesn't give any details. He just says they'll make something for that later on. The second place it's mentioned is in Numbers 35, and we spent quite a bit of time there going through that study. The Lord gives a lot of detail on that whole thing about the cities of refuge. But I do want us to look at the third time it was mentioned. That was Deuteronomy 19. So if you want to look back there with me, we're going to get it does a good job of giving a good summary, and it explains a few things too, reasons why the Lord was doing that. So Deuteronomy 19, in verse 1, when the Lord your God has cut off the nations whose land the Lord your God is giving you, and you are dispossessed, and you dispossess them and dwell in their cities and in their houses, and that's about where they're at this point in time, where we're reading in Joshua. You shall separate three cities for yourself in the midst of your land, which the Lord is God is giving you to possess. So he's talking about these three cities. You shall prepare roads for yourself, so divide it into three parts, the territory of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, that any manslayer, and that's the one who kills someone accidentally, may flee there. So Lord said, even when you get in the land, make sure the roads are set up so you can get to these places. So if there's three cities, then you divide it in three separate pieces of land and make sure the roads are set up so a person can get there without a problem. They can make sure they have that access. It says in verse 4, and this is the case of the manslayer who flees there that he may live. So this is to spare his life. That's one of the reasons here. Whoever kills his neighbor unintentionally, not having hated him in time past. So the Lord makes a distinction here between an intentional murder of someone and an accidental death. And you know, thankfully, in our country, we see some of the fruit of that. We still have that on the law books between the difference between manslaughter and then outright murder, homicide of someone. So we got that from the Lord. It goes all the way back to his teaching here. It says in verse 5, it says, as when a man goes to the woods with his neighbor to cut timber, so he's going to give an incident here, and his hand swings a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slips from the handle and strikes his neighbor so that he dies, he shall flee to one of these cities and live. Because obviously, he didn't start that day, so I'm going to kill my guy and my neighbor when I'm out here working. But it was a bad accident. Horrible thing happened, and the guy died. So he's going to be able to flee. And it says in verse 6, lest the avenger of blood, while his anger is hot, pursue the manslayer and overtake him, because the way is long, and kill him, though he was not deserving of death, since he had not hated the victim in the past. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall separate three cities for yourself. And that's what Joshua's in the process of doing there. Now if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he swore to your fathers, and gives you the land which he promised to give to your fathers, and if you keep all these commandments and do them, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, walk in his way and walk always in his ways, then you shall add three more cities for yourself besides these three. And there are going to be three other cities added, we'll see in the passage today. Lest innocent blood be shed in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and thus guilt of bloodshed be upon you. So the Lord said, if it gets to this point, where you're going to have someone kill someone intentionally after they have killed, they've had an accidental death, it's going to defile the land. There'll be the guilt of bloodshed because that person didn't deserve to die. You know, he just went to work with the guy. He didn't mean to have the guy die because of some action of his. So, and then the Lord goes on in that passage and makes it clear that he's not talking about someone who plans a murder. They're not going to be saved from that. They will be punished with their life. That was supposed to be the promise for that one there, the crime. Back in Joshua 20 then, the Lord's going to deal with this a little bit further. Verse 3, he brings us a short summary of this too, back in Joshua 20, verse 3. That the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. So there's your place of safety so you don't die because of what happened. And when he flees to one of these cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city, so he stops right there when he gets there, and he declares his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, because that's where the elders would hang out there and do their business and take care of business. So basically he's running to the court and going to tell them what happened. It says, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell there among them. And of course, that's assuming he was innocent, you know, in his story. Is right what he was told, telling them. If he comes and says, hey, I got mad at this guy and I murdered him, then they don't do that. They take him back and turn him in. Okay, but this is the direction the Lord gave them. Verse 5, it says, then if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand because he struck his neighbor unintentionally, but he did not hate him before him. And he shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment. So it's going to make sure he gets a fair trial in this before the people, and they get to see what really happened, and until the death of the one who is high priest in those days. And we talked about that before too. The Lord did give a marker of a time element where he would have to stay in that city. And we'll talk about that in a second too. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and to his own house, to the city from which he fled. So there's going to be a period of time where he's going to have to live away from his homeland, and the Lord gives direction on that And the reason is because of what happened. Even though it was an accidental or unintentional death, still a person died. A life has ended because of that. So there was a price to pay, even if it's just going to be a time factor where you're going to have to stay away from home for however long this is until this all gets cleared up or until the high priest passes away and everything the Lord set up on that. And it's because of the high value that God places on life. And it's to teach them the sacredness of a person's life. You know, we use the term today, you hear people talk about the sanctity of life. And if you notice, unfortunately, we're losing that in our society. People are dying every day. They're getting murdered every day. And the news just reports them as numbers. These are lives that are important to the Lord. Man, you know, don't you wish that we would pay attention to the God's direction and have that reverence for life, you know? And yeah, we mentioned that we think, too, of the babies that we kill every day in this country. Those are lives that are being lost, you know? A very sad thing that takes place. Now also, there was in this situation here, there was already innocent blood that had been shed accidentally, so God didn't want there to be more innocent bloodshed now deliberately on top of all that. You know, it's like we already got a bad mess. We don't need it to go further here. And in God's eyes, if that person, that avenger of blood came and killed him, you know, without an opportunity for that guy to have his side of the story heard in a fair trial kind of situation, in God's eyes, that would be a murder by the avenger of blood. He committed murder now, so now you got more of a mess to deal with because he killed that innocent person. You know, and even more than that, if that situation goes on, if they continue to kill people without regard because they unintentionally killed their relative down the road, you might end up having an endless feud between families, you know, like the Hatfields and McCoys. I mean, you're held with this, well, you killed him, I'm killing you, and then it just keeps going back, and it's just a crazy mess to deal with at that point. So the Lord made it very careful for them to watch the situation and not really mess this up and cause huge chaos that goes on. Again, we would do so well to listen to the Lord in these situations, you know. We see things erupting in our society more and more all the time. And if the hatred and bitterness controls that, we just got more and more of a problem, you know. In the ancient times back here, the custom back then was that if a person was killed, even by accident, then their blood was to be avenged by the eldest male in the family. And that was that avenger of blood. It was his job, his responsibility to take care of this. Even if it was an accident, this is the culture. This is not what God directed them to do. This is just what was going on. So in that situation, if your relative just got killed, you always have the danger that the avenger of blood for that family might have some anger issues, which the Lord brought up in that passage we looked at in Deuteronomy 19. So they wouldn't take time to stop and ask questions. They'd just be bent on killing that person. So the Lord is going to set up here a cooling off period. This is a real one, okay? A cooling off period where the emotions have a chance to settle some and rational thinking has a chance to kick in. So the Lord sets his people apart in this situation from the rest of the culture, from the pagan groups back then. And he did it by providing this place for the one who was guilty of unintentional manslaughter, and his life would be spared. So the Lord set it up, so in that situation too, when he put these cities of refuge out there, no matter where you lived in the promised land, no matter what part you lived in, you wouldn't be more than a day's journey from one of those cities of refuge. The Lord was very gracious in the way he set that up. He had these cities spaced out strategically in their land to make this one-day journey possible. And we'll see that he had put these cities on both the west side of the Jordan River and also on the east side of the Jordan River to make them available to all the people. So the Lord actually put names on these cities. We'll look at these in just a minute. Now, the Lord set these up where they were both sides. Remember we said earlier, God said three cities, but he said, if the Lord extends your land, three more cities. And there was, because remember some of the tribes decided to stay outside of the promised land and not go in. And because of that, the Lord gave them that land too. And you know, I had some interesting thoughts on that, and you can chew on this with me. Maybe it might settle some things for you. The Lord, even though those people, they're God's people that stayed outside the land, even though they decided they weren't going to go in the land, they still belong to the Lord. And we have the picture of that, as the people that went into the land are those who were to get into the Spirit-filled life. They would have totally surrendered to the Lord and say, use my life for whatever you want. But God still loves those people on the outside too. He made provision for them. And you know, for some who might argue with that and say, well, those guys, they should have come in the land. And they should have. I agree with that too. But they chose. They didn't want to go out there. They thought they were satisfied where they were. So that's all they get. It's kind of like you got the issues to deal with that too. But you know, the Lord loves those people. And you think about this, those people that wandered in the desert for 40 years because they wouldn't trust the Lord to go in the land, God loved those people. He provided for them every day. They had manna waiting for them. You know, they had shoes that never wore out, clothes that they had originally that never wore up. So God blessed those people out of love. And that's a cool thing to consider, okay? So have patience with people who have not come into the Spirit-filled life, even though they're Christians and they said, that's a little too weird for me. I don't think I want anything to do with that. I feel for them in the sense that you're missing out on a great life God has for you, the land flowing with milk and honey. But you're going to be outside the land, but God still loves you. You know, he's still going to take care of you, provide for you. But you have that option. You know, and I encourage people to come in the land. It's an exciting ride. You don't know where the Lord's going to take you, but it's a great ride to get there, you know. Back in our passage in verse 7 then, so the Lord's going to put names on these cities for us. This is the first time he did this. He talked about the cities of refuge before, but didn't tell them exactly where it would be. Verse 7, so they appointed Kadesh in Galilee in the mountains of Naphtali, Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah. And on the other side of the Jordan, by Jericho eastward, so the east side of the Jordan now, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness on the plain from the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan for the tribe of Manasseh. So these cities of refuge, as the Lord has now let us see the names of them, these give us a beautiful picture of the Lord. They show us the kind of refuge we find in Christ. When you look at the meanings of these names, and it's so cool. Jesus is the place we can run to for refuge and safety. And it was cool. We were singing about some of that this morning, him being our refuge. And of course, you know, Jesus is even greater than this picture of him here. The Lord gives us glimpses of Christ all through the scriptures here. But he's even greater than some of the glimpses. There's more to the picture than just what you see up front. And here, remember, he not only provides refuge for those who are innocent, which is what it's talking about in this passage, but he even is a refuge for those who are guilty. And boy, aren't we thankful of that. You know, remember, Jesus said, if you have hatred towards someone in your heart, you're guilty of murder. And how many of us, since we were kids even, have not had a moment of somewhere along the way, we got so mad at somebody, we were hating them, you know. Either they were a bully to us or something they did to us or something happened. And the Lord said at that point it was a sin, guilt, the same as murder in his eyes. That's how bad hatred is. Didn't you think it was interesting? The Lord kept bringing that up in the passage too. He talked about the manslayer and the avenger of blood and the hatred he put in that situation, the anger that can be there. So the names of these cities are very interesting because they tell a sinner what they're going to find when they come to Jesus for refuge. So I want you to just consider some of these. Kadesh is the first one he mentioned. Kadesh means holiness or righteousness. And the Bible says without holiness, no man is going to see God. But you know, thankfully, Christ is our holiness and our righteousness. So if you have Christ, you'll be able to see God. And the next one he mentioned was Shechem. And Shechem means shoulder or it means strength. And Jesus surely is our strength. Like he said, without me, you can't do anything. And he said too, you know, with Christ, all things are possible. So he's where we go for our strength. And in reference to the meaning of the shoulder there, I thought this was really cool. Adrian Rogers had this one. He added that Jesus is the shepherd who lays the lost sheep on his shoulders and brings them home. Beautiful pictures of Christ in this passage here. The next one is Kirjath Arba, which is named Hebron, is the name they're going to focus on there. And Hebron means fellowship. And you know, that's what we get to enjoy with Christ when we come to him. We get to have this living relationship with the one who created us. It's so awesome. The name Bezer, it means a stronghold or a fortress. And this pictures Christ as our place of safety, our place of hiding, you know, our refuge, a place we can run to. Ramoth is the next one, and it means heights, or uplifting, or exalting. And Jesus is our exalted Savior and God and King, and he's going to exalt us later if we've humbled ourselves now in this life to receive him. Also, Golan is another one mentioned here, and it means happiness. You know, and Jesus is truly the one who brings us happiness as we find in him forgiveness for our sins, freedom from our punishment, and adoption into the family of God. And of course, there's a number of other things the Lord has done for us, and he truly does bring us happiness. And in verse 9 here, it says, these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and notice this, and for the stranger who dwelt among them, that whoever killed a person accidentally might flee there and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. So here we see another picture of Jesus, because these cities were open to anyone, Jew or Gentile. And of course, salvation is open to anyone who would come to Christ, Jew or Gentile. Now, I was looking at Adrian Rogers, what he had to say in some of this. He's got another picture of Jesus he found in these cities of refuge, another application from that. And it's a pretty powerful picture if you catch his drift on this. So it's kind of an extended quote he's got here, but I want you to hear some of this. I thought it was really good. Now, the city of refuge was for a person who killed unintentionally, he said, not for a cold-blooded, calculated murder. And how does this apply to us today? Well, I'm guilty of someone's death, and so are you. We are guilty of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Adrian Rogers went on to say, you and I helped put Jesus on that cross. We crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, yet we did it unwittingly. When Jesus was on that cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Adrian went on to say, what does that scripture tell us today? It says that even though we bear the guilt of the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, he's able to say, Father, forgive them, because we did it in ignorance and stupidity. You know, and I thought that was really good. There's a little bit more on this I wanted to give you with Adrian Rogers' quote. He said, I want you to tell you something. If you deliberately and callously reject the Lord Jesus Christ, trampling beneath your feet his precious blood, there's no hope for you. Hebrews 10 says, there's no city of refuge for you. The great sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ made on your behalf would do you no good. And he said, oh, dear friend, we are guilty. We need forgiveness. We need a place of refuge. Thank God there is for us a city of refuge, and it is Christ. Won't you come into the city right now? I thought he did a great job of bringing that application out. You know, if a person today refuses to come to Jesus, then there is no city of refuge for them. The avenger of blood is going to come for them. Then the great sacrifice that Jesus did on their behalf isn't going to do them any good. If they don't go to that city, they don't go to Christ. So encourage people to run to that city of refuge while they still can. I mean, if you can imagine that back in these days, if that happened to a person where they killed somebody unintentionally, how long do you think they're going to take to get ready to go to that city of refuge? They're going to run to that place. They're going to say, I need to get there. I need to be at that place. I'm going to die. Man, that's the intensity we wish people would have when they see that Jesus is that city of refuge. He's the only place that's a place of safety for me, because the day of God's wrath is coming, you know? Yeah, I thought he had a great illustration and a great application he brought out of that. Let's jump into chapter 21 a little bit. We got a few minutes here. It says in verse 1 of chapter 21, then the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites came near to Eleazar the priest, to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spoke to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded through Moses to give us cities to dwell in with their common lands for our livestock. So the Levites have come to Joshua to remind him of the promise that God made through Moses to give them cities to live in. And the common lands it mentions here were for the livestock, for their land, and that's the land that the common lands were the ones that surrounded the city, kind of like the country pastures we see outside the cities around here, you know, a good place for cattle to graze and things like that. It would also give them a small place to raise some crops for their immediate family as well. Lord wanted them to have a little land for stuff, you know, he didn't want them to spend all their time there and get distracted, but enough for them to take care of their families and stuff. And I remember in this picture too, the Lord was going to spread these guys out, the Levites, across the promised land, so they would be spread among the people. And this would give them opportunity to keep the Lord and the ways of the Lord in front of the people in their daily lives. Now, we get a great application from this. God has placed us in various places to reach the people that are around us. Our job is to bring the light of Christ and let it shine before these people wherever God has placed us. You know, I was thinking about this. Notice he's placed people that have come here in our group through these couple of years we've been running, you know. We've had some people that have been planted by God in St. Louis, some in Smithton, some in New Baden, some in Freeburg, some in Waterloo, some in Scott Air Force Base, even some in Belleville. And those of us in Belleville, we aren't next door neighbors, so God's moved us and placed us in different spots around. And then you put on top of that, think of the different places where the people from this group have worked, right? Some have government jobs, some work in colleges, some have medical jobs at both a hospital and on the road in an ambulance. Some work in St. Louis, some in Granite City, some in Shiloh, you know, in other places. We've even had some that travel different parts of the world for their job. That's what where their job took them. And we even have someone that used to work at a barbershop of all places, you know. But God has strategically placed us where we can reach people in many different areas. He puts us in places where people have access to somebody who can share with them the truth about God. I mean, as he has taught us and he has trained us in his word and he's led us to see him more and more the longer we walk with him and the deeper we go with him. The Lord's called us a kingdom of priests, right? So he's placed us around. So if someone needs to hear about God, there's someone there. God has put us in those places. So I don't know if you thought about that before, but it is so encouraging to think that your life is that important to the Lord. He has put you specifically where you can minister to other people. So let the light shine. You know, don't hide the light. Let the light shine. Let people know that you know God. Let them know that you're a Christian, that you're a follower of the Lord. And that way, when they do have questions, they come to you. And you hear that so many times. Somebody says, yeah, I didn't know people were paying attention at the workplace, but they had this need and they came and asked me for prayer. Well, boom, there you are. You're that priest right there that can minister to them from the Lord. What a cool thing the Lord has done. Verse 3, it says, so the children of Israel gave to the Levites from their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord. Notice who's in charge of this. It's the Lord. These cities and their common lands. It says, now the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites. And by the way here, with the he's going to talk about the tribe of Levi in this section. And he's going to divide it up into three main families, the Kohath family, which we'll see here, the Gershom family, and Merari family. So in the next few verses, we'll see how many cities each tribe got from this giving out from the Lord as he directed it through Moses. So it says in verse 4, now the lot came out for the families of Kohathites. Notice they did the lot. They cast a lot here for that. And the children of Aaron the priest, who were of the Levites, had 13 cities by lot from the tribe of Judah, tribe of Simeon, tribe of Benjamin. The rest of the children of Kohath had 10 cities by lot mentioned again, from the families of the tribe of Ephraim, from the tribe of Dan, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh. So we're told here that the children of Kohath had 13 cities from the tribes mentioned in verse 4. They had another 10 cities from those mentioned in 5. So they had 23 cities altogether they were responsible for and they were supposed to live in. Verse 6 says the children of Gershom, that's the second group family here, they had 13 cities by lot. Then you jump down to verse 7 there. It says the children of Merari, according to their families, had 12 cities from those tribes. So you put all these together and you've got your 48 cities there, 45 cities, the Lord, 48. My numbers are not working in my head today, sorry. For the Lord has provided for them to have places to be spread out among the people there. And in verse 8 then, it goes on, it says, the children of Israel gave these cities with their common lands by lot to the Levites, as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. They were given to the Levites, they were used by the casting of lot. And if you notice, that term lot was used like 5 different times here in this short section we just read. And it just shows how God directed and he was in control of every part of the process of the land being given out to each tribe. And that includes, when you think about it, it wasn't just the tribe, it was to each person in that tribe, knowing where they were going to be placed by the Lord. And this is a beautiful picture for us too, the Spirit-filled life. God directs and he controls every part of it. Our job is to submit and to follow him and let him do the leading. Now, we're going to jump past verses 9 all the way down to past verse 42, because in that section he gives the specific cities for each one. And if you want to go do some study on that, that's awesome. It'd be a little tedious for us to jump on each one of those. But again, those are gifts. Realize that's a gift to each one of them, like a Christmas gift. So those are important to those folks there. But look at verse 43. It says, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it, and they dwelt in it. And the picture there you get is God's word was fulfilled. He promised them, they gave it to them, they got it, okay? Verse 44, it says, the Lord gave them rest all around, so they got rest in that land, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. Nobody could stand against them, because God was on their side. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. So the Lord gave them rest, he protected them, and interesting, do you notice how these things have changed in our land since we've attempted to kick the Lord out, and he's probably left our land at this point, unfortunately, with some of the evil decisions we've made recently. We've lost our rest, and we've lost our protection. Isn't that a sad, sad thing that has happened in our country because of our foolish, foolish rejection of the Lord? So we look at this and our mouths start to water. We think, oh man, it'd be nice to have those days of having peace and protection and knowing you can go to bed at night and wake up the next day and it'd probably be as beautiful as it was the day before and not worry about some terrorist attack or some crazy thing going on. But it's our rejection of the Lord that has done those things. So we say, oh Lord, please wake us up. Please wake us up. One more verse there, verse 45. And man, if you like marking your Bible, this is a verse you want to mark. What a testimony. It says, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. And in case you didn't get that, he said, all came to pass. What an encouraging verse there from the Lord. So what a testimony to have at the end of the day, you know? At the end of our life, that every single thing that was good, that God said was going to happen, it happened, you know? And we want to live our life that's close to the Lord. You want to live a life where everything you have is in the Lord, you know? If we live that close to the Lord and not at a distance, we can have this testimony at the end of our days, that not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken, you know, in our lives from his word. And this applies to Israel, applies to us as believers too. All came to pass. Man, we thank the Lord for that. You know, if someone is here today and they don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, let today be your day. Because God loves you so much. He sent his son Jesus to die for you on the cross, paid for your sins with his own life, raised back to life again. He's the city of refuge, and that's the good news. That's the very good news. All you have to do is believe that it's true, that he paid your penalty, and you're safe in Christ. You know, repent of your sins, ask Jesus come in your life. Now, you know, if you feel the Lord tugging at your heart about that or anything we talked about, give into that tugging. That's the Holy Spirit working on your life and trying to bring you closer. So don't let the Lord, don't hold back from the Lord. Come closer. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for your word. You give us the truth, Lord, and we thank you that you challenge our heart to humble ourselves and receive your truth. We thank you that you are the one who is our refuge. You are our city of refuge, Lord, and you allowed us to come. Not because of us, Lord, because we sure aren't worthy, but because of your great love. That's why you called us. That's why you brought us to that city of refuge. And we thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness we have in Christ. Lord, we pray too, as you have placed us in different roles, in different areas, locations, and jobs, we ask you, Lord, to use us where we're at. Bring people to ask us those questions about you, Lord. Let us have that light to shine from us that they can find the hope that is in Christ, and they too can find the city of refuge, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this, and we give you all the praise, the honor, and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Isn't that awesome? What a beautiful name, Jesus. You know, I was thinking this week, and it's maybe a funny thought to you, but you know, we've had some gloomy days recently, and I was just thinking, you know, when the sun is shining, you know how that just helps you feel better? It just feels like a better day just to know the sun's out there and there's light, you know? And I was thinking when we get to glory, we get to be with the Lord for all eternity, there's no more darkness. It's sunny every day, kind of. You know, there's no sun and moon, but the Lord's light, and it's just going to be bright every day. Can you imagine having that every single day of just that kind of joy? Well, that's what we have to look forward to, you know. So be encouraged. You know, we got this Christmas season. Pray for loved ones. Pray for folks. It's a hard time of year for a lot of people, and we just want to lift them up to the Lord. Let's pray right now. Father, There are folks who don't see this time of year as a joy that it's intended to be with your son Jesus. But Father, we just pray for those who really have a hard time and struggle and have a lot of pain. We ask you, Lord, to help them through this year. Help it to be the time where they can really see Jesus, Lord. They need you so bad. Father, we just lay them before you right now. We ask you, Father, just for special grace. We pray for special mercy that, Lord, you would reach out to them in miraculous ways in this coming time, Lord, that you would just grab their heart and let them know there is hope and there is light in Jesus Christ. And Father, we just thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for the work you're doing right now. And Lord, we thank you for answered prayer. And Lord, you get all the praise, honor, and glory in the holy and most precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Lord, bless you guys. Have a wonderful week with the Lord Jesus Christ.